In the enchanting world of the Everseas, where magic flows through blood and ancient feuds divide realms, L.J. Andrews, the Ever Queen, continues a tale of forbidden love, political intrigue, and the quest for unity between warring kingdoms. This sequel to the best-selling The Ever King has captivated readers worldwide, earning praise from fantasy icons like Sarah J. Maas and becoming a book talk sensation with over 50 million views. The novel's exploration of enemies-to-lovers romance against a backdrop of political machination resonates deeply with readers seeking both emotional depth and high-stakes adventure. What makes this series particularly compelling is how Andrews weaves together elemental magic systems with complex character development, creating a world where even monsters can find redemption through love. 20 years before our story begins, Valen Ferris, the Nightfolk King and Earthbender, killed Thorvald, the Everking, after Thorvald attacked one of Valen's family members who had been brutalizing young Eric. This act set in motion a generational conflict that would shape the destinies of both kingdoms. 10 years later, the Earth Fae defeated the Sea Fae in a devastating war that left deep scars on both sides. During Eric's imprisonment following the war, Livia Ferris, daughter of King Valen, secretly visited him, reading tales about a songbird and serpent finding friendship across impossible divides. These childhood encounters planted the seeds of a connection that would eventually blossom into something profound and world-changing. When Eric was banished to the Ever Kingdom, another decade passed before fate intervened. Livia accidentally broke the wards holding him captive. In a desperate move that would change both their lives forever, Eric kidnapped Livia for leverage against her father. However, this act of vengeance revealed an unexpected truth. Livia's fury magic could heal the darkening plague ravaging his kingdom. More significantly, a broken talisman created a magical heart bond between them, linking their souls in ways neither fully understood. Despite being among former enemies, Livia found her place with the Sea Fae, forming deep friendships with Selene and Sewell while falling deeply in love with Eric. After surviving multiple assassination attempts, Eric named Livia the first Ever Queen, a revolutionary act in a kingdom that had never known a queen's touch. Their plans to unite the realms were progressing until betrayal struck from within. Larson, Eric's half-brother, betrayed them and captured Livia. In a desperate attempt to save her, Eric returned to enemy territory, only to be captured by Prince Jonas and brought before Valen Ferris, the man who killed his father. This complex backdrop sets the stage for a tale of love transcending boundaries, healing ancient wounds, and forging new alliances in the face of treachery. The story asks, can two people from opposing worlds build a bridge strong enough to unite kingdoms divided by generations of hatred? Eric Bloodsinger's journey begins with brutal immediacy as he faces the wrath of Valen Ferris. Beaten and bloodied by Earth-Fae warriors, Eric's only thought is survival, not for himself, but for Livia. For Livia, her name rushed through my head with every kick and strike from the Earth-Fae warriors. I needed to live for her, to return to the Evership and find her. When confronted by Valen, Eric faces the full fury of a father who believes his daughter has been kidnapped and harmed. The Earthbender King nearly strangles him before his wife intervenes, pointing out the obvious. We do not find her if he is dead. This moment crystallizes the impossible position Eric finds himself in, hated by his enemies yet needed by them, desperate to save the woman he loves while facing the wrath of her father. Meanwhile, Livia awakens in luxurious captivity on a mysterious isle called Nathaven. Rather than the damp cells she expected, she finds herself in chambers reminiscent of her home in the Crimson Fort. Her captor is not who she expected either. A strange woman with twilight hair and brilliantly blue eyes introduces herself as Princess Skadi of the Dokiofar clan, Shadow Elven. This revelation shakes Livia's understanding of the world. The Elven were thought to be mere legends, ancestors of the Fae who had retreated to distant corners of the world thousands of years ago. yet here was living proof of their existence and somehow connected to Larson's plot against Eric. When Scotty takes Livia on a tour of Nat Haven, she reveals herself to be as much a prisoner as Livia, bound by circumstances she cannot control. I was not necessarily given much of a choice but to align myself with those who've risen against you, she confesses. This creates an intriguing dynamic where captive and captor share a common plight, setting the stage for an unlikely alliance. As both Eric and Livia navigate their separate captivities, they remain connected by an unbreakable determination to find each other again. Their parallel journeys highlight how love can become both vulnerability and strength, a weakness enemies can exploit, yet also the driving force that pushes them beyond their limits to overcome seemingly impossible odds. The true depth of Larson's betrayal unfolds like a poisonous flower, revealing layers of deception that stretch back generations. As Livia learns more about her captor's motivations, she discovers that Larson Bonekeeper is not merely Eric's rival, but his half-brother, the firstborn son of Thorvald, the previous Everking, and a noble from the Ljósafár Elven clan. Larson's true power isn't in bones, as his name suggests, but in stealing abilities through blood. Each bone in his necklace, a trophy from someone whose power he's claimed. His ambition has been brewing for decades, working tirelessly to break through wards his father placed against him, denying him his birthright as firstborn. In a chilling display of cruelty, Larson and his conspirators, Prince Arian of the Elven and the Sea Witch Fionn, perform a ritual to sever the heart bond between Livia and Eric. Despite Scotty's protests, they force her to use her shadow affinity to extract the magical connection from Livia's chest. The ritual leaves Livia physically and emotionally wounded. The bind rune that marked her connection to Eric now vanished. They had stolen our heart bond, Livia realizes in horror. This violation goes beyond physical harm. It's the theft of something sacred, an intimate connection that had sustained both Livia and Eric through their darkest moments. Across the sea, Eric experiences this severance as a physical wound, blood pouring from a mysterious injury in his chest. Through the crimson, he glimpses flickers of gold like sparks of sunlight, the last remnants of their magical bond dissolving. The terrible emptiness that follows is worse than any physical pain, as he loses the constant reassurance that Livia exists somewhere in the world. This act of magical violation represents the ultimate betrayal, not just of trust or loyalty, but of the most intimate connection between two souls. It forces both Eric and Livia to confront a haunting question. If their love persists even without the magical bond that first connected them, is it stronger or weaker than before? Can what was broken by magic be rebuilt by choice and determination alone? The search for Livia creates unlikely alliances that would have seemed impossible just days earlier. Eric finds himself working alongside Alexei, the Earth Fae prince he once considered an enemy, who now vouches for him before Valen and the Earth Fae court. "Be the warriors I admire and use your damn heads," Alexei tells his people. "He is not here for blood and does not deserve to have his spilled." This tentative trust expands when Valen Ferris himself offers a temporary truce to find his daughter. Despite their mutual hatred, they recognize their shared goal. "I call a truce, Bloodsinger, for now. Our ambitions align. I only wish to find my daughter," Valen declares, placing his axes beside Eric's cutlass in a symbolic gesture of alliance. The alliance grows to include Jonas and Sander Eriksson, twin princes of the Alver clan, and Princess Mira of the Fae clans, Earth royals who risk treason to help find Livia. Their motivation isn't loyalty to Eric, but love for Livia. Yet this common purpose creates bonds that transcend political divisions. Meanwhile, Livia forms her own unlikely alliance with Gavin Seeker, who mysteriously appears in her chambers at Nothaven. Together, they plan her escape, with Gavin revealing his true nature as an assassin. Trust the King's Seeker, Livia. I'm well-versed in assassination. Though Livia ultimately cannot leave due to the blood spell binding her to the Isle, she sends Gavin to find Eric, determined to find her own way to break free. These shifting alliances reveal how crisis can reshape long-standing enmities, creating space for new understandings. When faced with threats that endanger both realms, old hatreds begin to seem less important than shared survival. As Jonas later observes, "I've always had the compulsion to keep you fools safe. I wouldn't know what to do without any of you." His words reflect how quickly enemies can become family when united by common purpose and shared danger. The evolving relationship between Eric and Valen particularly illustrates this transformation. From murderous hatred to grudging respect, their journey embodies the possibility of reconciliation even between the most bitter enemies. When Valen admits, "Strange, but the Sea King almost grows on you," it signals a fundamental shift in how these two kingdoms might relate to each other in the future. Throughout the narrative, power comes with devastating costs. Larson's quest for the Blood Crown drives him to murder his own mother to break the final barriers between the Elven and the Ever. His thirst for power corrupts everything he touches, transforming him from Eric's trusted friend into a monster willing to sacrifice anyone for his ambition. Similarly, Prince Arion's pursuit of Elven kingship leads him to torture, manipulation, and betrayal. He keeps Scotty essentially enslaved, threatening to keep her numb if she doesn't comply with his demands. His casual cruelty reveals how power without compassion becomes tyranny. Even Eric, our protagonist, must confront the darkness his power brings. After capturing Lord Hesh, he orders Sewell to torture him, peeling away skin to reveal a magical symbol that will lead them to Livia. Though justified by necessity, these actions take a toll on Eric's soul. "For every moment he had you, I'd planned to make him suffer. His screams will become myths," he later tells Livia, revealing the monstrous rage that drives him. Livia, too, discovers a capacity for violence she never knew she possessed. After killing Fionne with the Elven dagger, she reflects on how her gentleness has been replaced by a thirst for vengeance. "This thirst for vengeance was unfamiliar, robbing me of my former gentleness. As I once told Eric, love could draw out the most brutal pieces of the heart." The novel doesn't shy away from showing how power can corrupt, yet it also offers counterexamples. Narsa makes a significant sacrifice by binding herself to the Earth Fae through an ancient spell called Nietzsche Die, a lifetime bond that compels her to protect them. This voluntary surrender of freedom for the greater good demonstrates how power can be channeled toward healing rather than dominance. Similarly, when Livia discovers the House of Tides Lord Joron has been letting his people eat darkened crops infected with blight, she uses her fury magic to heal the land rather than seeking revenge. Field after field, meadow after meadow, she restores life to the poisoned earth, demonstrating that true power lies in creation rather than destruction. These contrasting approaches to power ask readers to consider, what price are we willing to pay for power, and what determines whether that power heals or destroys? At its heart, this story explores whether love can survive when stripped of magical bonds. When Larson and his conspirators sever the heart bond between Eric and Livia, they believe it will destroy their connection. Instead, it reveals the true depth of their feelings. "Bond or not, you are mine, and gods, I'm yours, love," Eric declares to the emptiness after losing their connection. Similarly, Livia realizes, "It has not changed how fiercely I love Eric Bloodsinger, but it has certainly changed the lines I would cross to reach him." Their reunion after separation is electric with emotion. When Eric finally finds Livia on Nothhaven's shore, they cling to each other with desperate relief. "Gods," Eric gasps, brushing her hair back, pressing his forehead to hers. Hello, love. I promised I'd come for you. This moment affirms that their connection transcends magical bonds. It's a choice they make with every breath. Later, in the intimacy of their chambers, Eric reassures Livia. Whatever that bastard thinks he took from us, he failed. I belong to you, every wretched piece of me. I've no need for spells or bonds to prove it. I choose you, Livia Ferris, for much longer than my last breath. This theme reaches its culmination in the epilogue, when Eric and Livia participate in a new heart bond ceremony presided over by Narza. Unlike their first bond, which happened by accident, this one is a conscious choice made before both their families. The ritual creates a new bind rune on their skin, replacing where the House of Kingsmark once was. The seal of House Ferris now branded on their flesh, surrounded by ivy vines. This evolution from magical accident to deliberate choice reflects the maturation of their relationship. What began as an unwilling connection has transformed into a love freely chosen and publicly declared. Their story suggests that the strongest bonds aren't those imposed by magic or circumstance, but those we choose to forge and maintain through conscious decision and daily recommitment. The novel builds toward a powerful vision of unity between long divided peoples, exploring how deep-seated animosities can transform into bridges of understanding. This theme manifests most dramatically in the removal of the chasm, the violent magical current that has separated the Sea Fae and Earth Fae realms for generations, serving as both a physical barrier and a symbol of their historical enmity. With Scotty's unique affinity for darkness, inherited from her controversial lineage, and Tavish's rare ability to unthread ancient spells, they undertake the dangerous task of dismantling the magical barrier while preserving the natural boundary between realms. The process requires both technical skill and emotional trust, as each must rely on abilities that their respective societies once feared. When Gavin emerges from the water shouting, "The chasm is gone," it represents not just a geographical change, but the physical manifestation of the emotional and political barriers that have begun to fall throughout the story. This physical transformation mirrors the personal journeys of key characters. Eric, once consumed by hatred for the Earth Fae after his father's murder, gradually opens his heart to accept House Ferris as his own family. His evolution from vengeful son to bridge builder exemplifies the story's central message about breaking cycles of hatred. Valin, who killed Eric's father in the ancient conflict, faces his own past actions and now acknowledges Eric as family through his daughter, a connection that would have seemed impossible at the story's beginning. The Earth Royals undergo their own transformation, moving from viewing Sea Fae as savage enemies to recognizing them as sophisticated allies with their own rich culture and traditions. This shift is particularly evident in the changing dynamics of council meetings, where Sea Fae voices gradually gain equal weight in discussions about the realm's shared future. The novel doesn't present this unity as simple or immediate, a realistic choice that strengthens its message. Cultural differences remain evident in everything from diplomatic protocols to marriage customs. Suspicions linger, particularly among older generations who remember the bloodshed firsthand. Some, like Joran, view these changes as betrayal of their ancestor sacrifices, highlighting the complexity of reconciliation. Yet the story suggests that genuine connection across difference is possible when we recognize our shared humanity and face common threats. Small moments illuminate this truth. Shared meals, where traditional dishes from both cultures appear. Children from both realms playing together in the shore waters. And warriors who once fought each other now training side by side. This theme resonates deeply in our own divided world, offering hope that ancient hatreds need not determine future relationships. As Livia observes when watching the Earth Fae Royals interact with the Evercrew, strange, isn't it? Not so long ago, we'd wanted the lot of these sods dead and gone. Now, it's like they were always here. Her observation captures the story's central hope that what seems impossible in one generation can become natural in the next. Perhaps the most profound theme in The Everqueen is the acceptance of darkness within ourselves and those we love. Both Eric and Livia must confront the monstrous aspects of their natures. His capacity for calculated violence, her emerging taste for vengeance. Rather than rejecting these darker impulses, they acknowledge them as part of who they are. "You are a beautiful monster," Livia tells Eric, accepting both his tenderness and his terrible capacity for violence. Similarly, Eric embraces Livia's evolution from the gentle princess who once feared bloodshed to a queen willing to fight fiercely for her kingdom. This mutual acceptance creates space for authentic love, not despite their darkness, but inclusive of it. "Serpent, I would follow your darkness, every ugly truth, across the skies and seas," Livia vows. Eric responds in kind, loving both her light and the shadows that have emerged through their trials. The novel suggests that true intimacy requires revealing our whole selves, the beautiful and the monstrous, and finding acceptance for both. When Livia tells Eric, "To me, you will always be the most beautiful of monsters," she's acknowledging that his capacity for violence exists alongside his capacity for love, and that she accepts the entirety of who he is. This theme challenges the simplistic notion that people are either wholly good or wholly evil. Instead, it presents a more nuanced view where everyone contains multitudes, capacity for both cruelty and kindness, violence and tenderness. By embracing this complexity in themselves and each other, Eric and Livia model a love that is realistic rather than idealized, and all the more powerful for its honesty. As The Everqueen concludes, we witness the beginning of a new era for both the Everkingdom and the Earthfey realms. With the chasm's violent currents neutralized, travel between kingdoms becomes possible, opening opportunities for trade, cultural exchange, and deeper understanding. The appointment of Selene Tidecaller as the new Lady of Blades and High Farer of the Everseas represents the changing power structures within the Everkingdom. Her immediate declaration that she wouldn't wear dresses to revels and would speak her mind freely at the council table signals a shift toward more inclusive leadership. Meanwhile, the heartbond ceremony between Eric and Livia symbolizes the union of their realms on a personal level. As their blood mingles with that of both families, the magical seal that appears, the mark of House Ferris surrounded by ivy vines, represents the blending of sea and earth, the merging of two traditions into something new and stronger. Yet the epilogue hints that challenges remain. Jonas Erickson's decision to marry Scotty to neutralize the elven threat suggests ongoing political complexities. The reference to Scotty as potentially a blade that might turn against us one day reminds us that peace remains fragile, requiring constant vigilance and renewal. This bittersweet ending acknowledges that building unity is an ongoing process rather than a single triumphant moment. The work of healing divided realms, like the work of maintaining love, never truly ends. It must be recommitted to each day through countless small choices and occasional grand gestures. As Livia and Eric share their first silent communication through their new bond, thinking of a thousand turns together just the beginning, we're reminded that their story, like the story of their kingdoms, continues beyond the final page. The future remains unwritten, full of both promise and peril, awaiting the choices they will make together. The tale of the serpent and the songbird forms a beautiful motif throughout the novel, beginning with the stories Livia read to imprisoned Eric as a child and culminating in their lived reality. When they swim together under moonlight near the end of the book, Livia affirms that they have completed the tale she invented long ago of the serpent and songbird who lived happily ever after. This meta-narrative reminds us of the power of stories to shape reality, how the tales we tell ourselves and each other can create blueprints for possible futures. The childhood stories Livia shared with Eric planted seeds of possibility that eventually blossomed into their shared life and united kingdoms. Similarly, the novel itself functions as a story that bridges worlds, inviting readers to imagine possibilities beyond ancient hatreds and seemingly unbridgeable divides. Through the journey of Eric and Livia, we glimpse how love might transcend boundaries of blood, history, and culture to forge new connections where none seemed possible before. In a world increasingly defined by division, the Everqueen offers a vision of unity that doesn't erase difference but embraces it, where Sea Fae and Earth Fae, Serpent and Songbird can find common ground without losing their distinct identities. It reminds us that the most powerful magic may not be found in spells or enchantments, but in the simple yet profound act of choosing love over hatred again and again until new worlds emerge from the ruins of the old.